are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is December 30th, 2009. This is the last show of this decade and the first show of the new decade of Bludgeon. Yes. Everyone here has Bludgeon except for JD. Pity JD, people. Pity JD. I'm Brian Kilby, and with me I have the usual crew, a Bludgeonless JD, Rob, XV, and John Luna. Hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, JD.
It's okay. Anybody that feels the need can send me one.
Chris bought mine for me because I was poor, so.
So see, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a friend.
Yeah, Chris is a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went without the pricier liquor and just got the Walmart $3 bottle of liquor.
Walmart does sell liquor. I was surprised.
Yeah, they got their own private label wine that's not so bad and everything.
That's illegal in Oklahoma.
Crazy.
Is it a blue? It's completely blue state.
Yeah, you cannot buy liquor in a grocery store in Oklahoma.
Does that cover beer and wine?
Beer, you can buy beer. Beer's not liquor.
Sure, good.
We're
ready to stab Rick James now, boy. Go get this back.
But yeah, you cannot buy wine or liquor. And, yeah.
Okay. So this isn't the wine connoisseur show. If it was, we'd be talking about Cisco and Night Train, but it's not. Actually, Night Train sounds like a Transformer.
We ought to consider that, though.
Yeah.
I've been watching a Transformer named Night Train for years, pretty much since I turned 21 and had $3 to spare.
That'd be great. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the news. Okay, you remember last week when we said that the Masterpiece Ghost Starscream was a hoax? Well, according to Big Bad Toy Store and Famitoy and several other sources, it really looks like Masterpiece Ghost Starscream is real, sadly.
Oh, what do they know?
I'm confused. I don't know, because they say it's real, and then they say it's not real, and now they're saying that it's confirmed, so...
Well, when there's retailer solicitations, I'm inclined to think it's real. But when it's just an orphan picture on the internet with no corroboration, that's a little more hoaxable.
Yeah.
I think it's real, it's just we don't want it to be real.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I was more excited when it wasn't real than
on the T-Formers board. Someone said that they would buy that because that's worth the money rather than Hinkay Ghost Starscream. But really, I think Hinkay Ghost Starscream would look better than a Masterpiece Ghost Starscream. Am I wrong there?
You know,
thinking
it's a mold that lends itself better to translucent plastics.
So it's a lot simpler. There's not as many complex parts to. Obscure the light coming through it.
Yeah, and the thing is, while Masterpiece Starscream is awesome, he's an awesome jet. He's not really an awesome robot.
And jets don't make very good ghosts.
Wonder Woman, she had the invisible jet. So,
well, yeah, but that's not a ghost.
It could have been. We don't really know the exact origins.
No, that's the best way to happen.
I don't know. I think a better thing to do with this use of the Masterpiece Starscream mold would have been to make, like, a Sunstorm or an Acid Storm.
Acid Storm. I was thinking Acid Storm. That would be great.
I mean, that'd be like having a Masterpiece Monzo.
I would have a Masterpiece Monzo. That would be fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, just to
I'd
screw with you.
I'd love a Purple Dirge in the MP line myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Coneheads. Not a bad idea.
Ramjet.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. And you could have the little launching stuff, too. The little launching guns. That would be fantastic if they added that.
Oh, this just in. It's a hoax again. Crap.
Not really. He's making that up to screw
it. Well, by the time this goes to air, it might be the truth.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
What? I read it off of Bot Talk. It's got to be real, right?
This will go live around 11 p.m. Eastern, so in the next 3 hours, it may...
Ready.
Professor Luke, press time, it was still real.
Okay, just to screw with you, Hasbro.com adds pages for the Last Universe Robot Heroes packs, but you still can't buy them. That sucks.
Watch them things show up in a Big Lots in like 1 year.
That would be awesome.
They very well could. I mean, Hasbro doesn't like to waste finished molds.
Yeah, no. I mean, and it's done. I mean, I was talking to Chris today. I was trying to explain to him how, merchandising works. And why places like Big Lots and Family Dollar get old toys while Walmart and Target get new toys. And, I mean, technically those are going to be old toys since there's no R&D and design involved. So that's entirely possible.
Only problem is the Robot Heroes tend to cost about a dollar more at Big Lots than they did at Walmart.
Yeah, but if you can find ones you can't find at Walmart, that's when it's worth it.
Like,
yeah,
unfortunately, that's not the case since what Big Lots has right now was easily available.
Well, it was easily available, but now, I mean, I just got into the Robot Heroes late. So I'm, like, going to Big Lots, Family Dollar, and we have Dollar Generals here. I'm not certain if they're national. But and I've been getting Robot Heroes there that I really missed.
I know I've seen Dollar General around Chicago. So
I guess it is national.
Mostly national, yeah.
You know, Family Dollar.
Yeah, it's basically national.
Family Dollar is headquartered about an hour from here. I've often sort of fantasized about getting a job and having the little red Family Dollar badge and walking into those ghetto stores like a god, you know, ascending from the corporate office.
Man.
So, John, you work the corporate life for a major retailer. When you go into the stores, don't you kind of feel like a god? No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
I don't know. My sister works for, like, corporate for Rue 21, and I don't think she felt that way when she was in their store. So.
Yeah.
Strut in and strut out.
I think the look of the cashier is like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They
tend to, store people tend to not like corporate people.
Yes, very much true.
Yeah, there's those people that make them do the weird setups and products in places that don't make sense.
Exactly.
So.
And extended warranties.
Yeah. Okay, also in the news, Bludgeon, he's out. You should go find him. He's everywhere. Yeah, you can't go into
Walmart. Except for JD's house.
Yeah, you really can't go into a Walmart without seeing him.
Unless you're JD.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the best toy ever made, really, if you think about it.
He's up there. He's up there.
Yeah.
He's
definitely up for Toy of the Year.
Yeah, at this point, he very well may be.
I'm more excited about him holding in my hands than I was Unicron when I got him.
Unicron's not that great a toy, though.
Unicron was just Unicron. And then you're like, oh, now I have it.
Yeah. Okay, finally in the news. Hey, this is the first show after Christmas. What did you guys get?
Stuff.
Somebody say mine.
I got Mighty Mugs, Bumblebee, and a little certificate to go buy another Mighty Mugs for my wife. How's that nice?
That's awesome.
Awesome.
It is so fun to have an accepting wife.
Mine is mostly accepting. I'm kidding. She everything she got me this year was Transformers related, which is pretty awesome.
That sounds more than accepting.
Yeah, she's an encouraging, Transformers fan wife, whatever. I got
a fan wife.
It's like a midwife, but it's yeah.
Right.
I got a Masterpiece Skywarp. What else did I get? I got some PJs, like adult size PJs, which is kind of great. T-shirts, ice cream truck, ice cream twins. I think that was it.
Man, I've really kind of pulled in a haul as far as Transformers go this year.
What did you get?
Well, Transformers alone. See, my brother got me Leader Rolling on the Floor Laughing Prime, which is near masterpiece quality toy here. I mean, that's really surprised by it. The girlfriend, Kristen, got me Masterpiece Skywarp, Human Alliance Skids. What else? New Soundwave, Freeway Jazz, and then she got me some other things, but I kind of pulled into mother load, didn't I?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, Hall.
I also got a Secret Santa. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I got a device label Ravage, and he is really awesome. So, I forgot that. XV.
What?
Did you get anything?
I got a can of Manwich and some buns.
I love Manwich. Actually, Manwich with Doritos, and you just dip it in. That's delicious.
That sounds great.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
It's awesome. So
that sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen.
Hey,
next year we're going to publish the RFC cookbook. RFC.
Yes. How many RFC holiday cookbook?
I already
have
one good recipe.
How many pictures of taquitos are going to be in that thing?
Yeah, exactly. XV.
Well,
did you get
anything? See, the thing is, I can cook, so I can contribute good recipes.
I can too. I'm actually a fairly talented cook.
Yeah, I just don't. That's the difference.
Humble too.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a lot of fun to just cook for yourself.
Exactly.
Which is the business model that Burger King and McDonald's and Taco Bell operate on.
But okay, so did you get anything Transformers related?
No.
Okay, JD, that's you got fun. Something big.
Okay, so yeah, well, I got a few cool things. First off, my wife got me like some Legends, I guess it was the Cybertron Legends. So Leo Prime, Optimus Prime, Soundwave, and Hotshot. And so those were for my work desk because I didn't have any Transformers on my work desk yet. But she also got me Legends Devastator, so the complete set of the 7 Constructicons from the Revenge of the Fallen.
Nice.
Devastator set. Yes. Nice.
That set her back a little bit.
Not too bad, actually. But so here's the dilemma, though. I know that the U.S. release is coming out. And I'm like, do I leave them in the Japanese packaging or do I wait for the U.S. release, which is probably going to be virtually the same, and leave these sealed? I don't know. I haven't opened them yet, so I don't know what to do. I just kind of like have them on my bookshelf staring at me, and I don't know what to do.
Probably best to keep them in a Japanese package so they can be like, and these are from Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be any different. Why, you know, like, I don't know, value wise. I try not to think
to resell.
Well, unlike Brian, I try to keep things that I buy. Mm. So I don't really.
And especially it's a little bit tacky to sell a gift.
Well,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but I do think about that. I mean, obviously, I just sold off a big chunk of my carded, like, Star Wars and stuff. And some of my carded figures recently. So, it's something I think about. I mean, I try to keep that in mind. I mean, I think as a collector, you always have to have in the back of your mind that, you know, you might not hang on to the stuff forever. But on the other hand, I kind of want to see how awesome the assembled Devastator is. So, I don't know. But you're saying I should leave it carded?
I think you should leave it carded as well.
Yeah, at least sort of. Wait a little while for the Hasbro ones and then decide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere in the meantime.
Yeah. If I don't get the Hasbro ones, I probably will crack into them. But I'm hoping that the Hasbro ones will be quite prolific and also not extremely expensive.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well,
Hasbro ones are 30, aren't they?
I haven't seen a price point on them yet. Hmm. So, I know this was like $45, I think, with shipping and everything.
Right, that's about fair.
Yeah, so, but if you think about, too, the Legends have been what? How much are they retail? Like $5?
$7?
Depending on which retailer you go to.
Yeah, so, and then there's 7 of them. So,
and then if it's sold in a gift set, the store seems to mark the gift sets up higher than the individual figures.
Yeah, so I don't know, $50 for another one for the UF one?
It's a little much.
Yeah, if that's what it is. I'm hoping it'll be closer to like $40, but
it comes out around the end of March, so I can ride that birthday train on an ownership.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go. So, all right, we'll leave them carded. We'll leave them on the shelf.
Okay, good deal.
Free Cybertron, bringing you answers to the important question.
Yes. Just wanted to remind everyone that Big Bad Toy Store has a 15% off on all older toys and graphic novels until midday. New Year's Day, that means all items that aren't new, pre-order, and back order are included. So that's pretty awesome, 15% off. So if there's anything you've been holding off on that you weren't exactly certain that you wanted to get, now's the time to do it. So anything you guys are looking to get that you've sort of held off on?
Bludgeon?
Bludgeon's new.
Oh.
Yeah, Bludgeon's not on
sale.
Held
off. Oh. You know, one thing I keep eyeing that's on Big Bad Toy Store is buying the set of the Universe Deluxes that comes with, is it Sunstreaker that's still? I think that one's still available in a set, like with Hound and Octane. So
yeah, I need to get Sideswipe. I've got Sunstreaker, but I need to get Sideswipe myself.
Yeah, so. Sideswipe is completely gone off of there, so I don't know where I'm gonna get that. But Sunstreaker is still on there, so I don't know. Oh, and my wife is well trained. She did get that at Big Bad Toy Store. So
she's so awesome.
Yeah. So
fantastic.
Yes. So.
Big Bad Toy Store is exactly where my girlfriend went to get me Masterpiece Grimlock for my birthday. Like, there's no other thought in her mind. I was like, wow, I must have mentioned him like 1,000 times around her.
Yeah.
But yeah, just keep in mind that sale is valid through midday. They just said midday, like January 1st. So you only have a couple days. So hurry up and get it. If you're listening to this after New Year's, you missed out. Sorry. So yeah,
but they already got such great prices. You can just... Don't suffer too much. Still buy from them.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But see, this is a good reason to sign up for Big Bad Toy Store's newsletter.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, sign up for the newsletter. It's definitely worth it. And also go to our website because JD on Sundays, he posts a roundup, and usually Big Bad Toy Store is like the featured source for sale items. So
there you go. Especially for Transformers. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, what do we got else? Oh, this day in Transformers history. JD, that's all you.
Okay, well, this day is actually 2 days ago in history. Well, three, maybe. But
it doesn't matter. Whenever someone listens to this, it'll be like a week in history.
30 days. We're dating it now. So, December 27th, 1985, Krim Zeke premieres and introduces the world to fun and lovable electricity.
Did anyone try to like capture electricity after Krim Zeke came on and like shock themselves?
Yeah, I do that all the
time.
You're
just special, Brian.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, and then 2002 Armada Credulous as well, I guess. So.
Oh.
Jam. Yeah. Jam.
Jam.
For Hotshot. Anyway.
Yeah, so. That's the episode where Hotshot gets the jam beat out of him.
Jam.
Jam. Yum. Jam. Okay.
That's why his shoulders hurt.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and play XV's pre-recorded because he can't do the stuff on the fly. I mean, you know, sorry, you can't. Admittedly.
At least I acknowledge my limitations.
Yes, and that's your only limitation.
A few that I have.
This is XV bringing you the It Figures toy review of Bludgeon from Revenge of the Fallen. Bludgeon's vehicle mode is that of a Japanese Type 90 main battle tank. It is very well detailed, and I'm sure fairly realistic. However, it suffers like so many realish vehicle modes, especially tanks, by being a box on wheels. The only moving, and so even vaguely interesting, parts are the turret and machine gun on top of it, both of which can swivel. Yay! The tank also rolls along on four little wheels. Is that interesting at all? Maybe a little more attention-getting is that portions of the tank's treads are rubberized plastic. Sadly, they do not run like real treads. Since attempting it would likely have compromised the rest of the toy, we're probably better off for it. But, you know, we're really not here about the tank, right? Transforming Bludgeon can be a little difficult at first. The lower body has a series of motions that need to be performed in a pretty fixed order or nothing fits together. I also found it difficult to get Bludgeon's spinal column to lock into place, but that could be individual variation. In robot mode, Bludgeon is the very image of a robot skeleton samurai. Where samurai armor is not a molded surface, tank parts are cleverly used to recreate elements like shoulder armor and thigh guards. Bludgeon's articulation and posability are pretty good. A range of joints in the arms and legs plays well with the samurai motif, and fighting stances are easily achieved. However, one place articulation is lacking is the absence of a wrist swivel. For poses involving sword fighting, being able to turn the wrist or forearm is pretty important, and it's just not there with Bludgeon. The ankles can be better as well, but they're not very bad. The worst part for the legs and feet really are the heel spurs, which are almost uselessly short. Even a slight incline can cause Bludgeon to topple backwards on his Kusazuri. How embarrassing. Bludgeon's swords are inventively disguised in the tank's turret. The longsword stores in the cannon barrel, with the grip forming about half of its length. The shorter blade is completely concealed within the turret. Pulling on its side causes the turret to open and a geared sheath extends outward. In robot mode, this places the grip of the short sword in just the right place for an over-the-shoulder draw. This is easily one of my new favorite geared action features. Bludgeon holds his swords tightly. In fact, so tight is the grip that it can actually leave indentations on the grip of the long sword. If you like, the short sword's handle can be fit into the end of the long sword, making a double-ended, if terribly unbalanced, weapon for Bludgeon. The best part is that Bludgeon's left thigh guard has slots to carry the swords in robot mode. Great attention to detail with that. All by itself, I think Bludgeon is a very solid toy. It's not trying to do anything new or weird, it's just being a really strong toy in both modes. Add the care taken to get the samurai style in the robot mode, and how much attention was paid to making it a good backdoor update for Bludgeon, and you've got a great Transformer right here. Bludgeon is probably my new favorite toy from the movie line, of the few I have, anyway. And I'd call him just about perfect, if only his wrists could turn. But even so, he is still very good and well worth the $20. For a more in-depth review and a gallery full of photos, check out It Figures at figurereviews.com. We're awesome.
He is actually really awesome. I have very few complaints. I have very few complaints about the toy. He's a little flat.
I was just a little annoyed with some of the steps in transformation, but aside from that, I was like, yay, Bludgeon.
Yeah, in XV's review, he talks about how you have to use the instructions, and it's very sequential. I didn't use the instructions, and I got.
I didn't use the instructions either. It just took me a while to figure out why it wasn't working. Then once I figured out that the thigh guards have to go and flip over first before you can fold the legs together, it all made a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's the way I did it to begin with, so I just kind of lucked out. If I had not done that, I probably would have gotten confused.
Yeah.
The thigh guard things, I had a hard problem getting them to fold into place just right. That was really it. You know the one with the little holster for the knife?
Yeah.
I just could not get the fold together right, and I was like getting really pissed off. And then next thing I know, I just folded right together like it's supposed to. I was like, and then everything was just cake. Well, that where you push him a little or whatever, I end up pinching out of my thumb. I'm about the room.
PG show, Rob. PG.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
We're all just kind of sitting here with the same look on our face, aren't we?
God bless it.
Yeah, but I have very few complaints. He's a great toy. Rob, I'm not obviously playing that Rob. Rob expressed some major frustration, which we can't play on this show. So if you're wondering why we're giggling, maybe someday we'll do like a RFC After Dark, or Rob can do whatever he wants to in his show. But
yeah, Rob, you need to start your own podcast, spin-off.
You can bring back the TF Barbecue.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I was thinking about doing a Power Rangers show just to cheese off XC a little. They on Power Rangers, they were jumping around in spandex and hitting each other. Man, it was pretty cool. It was like that one show that used to come on. You know that one, Richard Simmons?
So is that the official announcement that we're doing a Power Rangers podcast?
I have no idea.
So XV is going to head up a Power Rangers podcast, which it's been kind of secret, but you know.
Because I didn't know if it was going to happen or not.
Well, the pieces are all coming together.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just pretend to you can say you're going to do it all you want until you actually do it. No one's going to hold you to it. I mean, it's
right.
A podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's not like there's people out there like making a list of things that we say we're going to do.
Not yet. But once we're on the official podcast of TFormers.com, our pal Scaleface will be doing that. So we're going to have to be on our toes.
Oh yes. So.
Hey Scaleface, if you're listening, we love you. So.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to.
Okay, so, Brian, you said you had a few complaints about Bludgeon.
He's just very flat. He's very... obviously, he's not two-dimensional, but aesthetic-wise, he's kind of two-dimensional. He looks kind of like... He's like a scaled-up version of the Optimus Prime gift card from Target back in 07. He just gives me a vibe like that.
Or would it be more like the transforming DVD case?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. He's...
But he's kind of a box in vehicle mode.
Yeah, but in robot mode, though, he's just way flatter than I expected.
Right, but I think that goes along with the style. You know, he's supposed to look like a skeleton in samurai armor. So that wouldn't really be very deep.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I totally do. I just think they did that on purpose.
He's kind of bulimic, yeah. I can go with that.
It's kind of like Ransack, you know.
Yeah. But excellent. He's an excellent toy. And toy of the year? Toy of 2009? Do we think so?
He's technically a 2010 toy.
Best toy of Revenge of the Fallen.
Hmm. Yeah, here.
Well,
I'm Prime. Leader,
just
leader
by yeah. just by debating that, you're saying he's not because
best
those
Voyager.
Toys all came out.
He's the best interpretation of a Pretender's toy in Revenge of the Fallen.
There we
Has
go.
Has there been more than one?
The other Bludgeon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose that's true, but that wasn't... Never mind.
And there's some continuity between the two releases. So
yeah, right. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and quickly go to Stump Monzo. This week, Stump Monzo, our pal Protoman called in with a question. Protoman wants to know, in the Transformers 2010 one-shot manga titled Battle for the Convoy Cup, which was the big wrestling tournament for the Convoy Cup, who defeated Wheelie in the early bouts?
Say that again?
Okay. In the Transformers 2010 one-shot manga titled Battle for the Convoy Cup, which was a big wrestling tournament for the Convoy Cup, who defeated Wheelie in the early bouts?
Does the wiki even cover that?
No.
Not that we could find, no.
He gave me a scan of the answer.
Okay. Well, considering that I didn't even know that this thing existed prior to this, I don't know if it's an all... Heck, I don't know. Let's say Springer?
Oh, so close. Rengar. So, Monzo is stumped for the very first time. Send an email to stumpmonzo@tfradio.net, and someday soon, maybe you can try, but you'll probably fail, to Stump Monzo. Congratulations to Protoman, who is the first person to ever stump Monzo, and probably the last. As stated earlier on in the show, this is the last podcast ever of 2009. There's no other podcast being recorded this decade, period. So...
Yeah. I'm going to go record a podcast and publish it tomorrow.
Yeah. But it's the last RC of the decade. And this has been, I mean, the Transformers have spanned three decades. The 80s, 90s, and the aughts. So, does anyone actually say the aughts?
Nobody but you.
Well, apparently, though, that's picked up over the last, like, 3 months. People have all of a sudden decided that over the last 10 years, we should have been calling it the aughts. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Now that it's over.
Yeah,
but it's Transformers has spanned three decades. This has been like the transformative decade for Transformers.
That's terrible.
I like it.
Yeah. So this has been the decade of the Transformers. We never really thought that the Transformers would get any bigger than they were in the 80s, but oh man, did they?
Yeah, Transformers pretty much exploded this decade.
Yeah. I mean, everything's changed. The fandom's changed. The toys have changed. The media's changed. It's insane. Let's quickly talk about how the fandom's changed. Last decade, the fandom existed basically in two parts. You had like the mailing list. You had the internet fandom, who was part of the mailing list, and like Alt Toys Transformers. Then you had, like, the literal mailing list of people who, like, kept up with, like, pen and paper, who might actually occasionally meet up at BotCon, which started when? BotCon, the first one was, what, 95?
94, I think.
94. 94.
Yeah.
So, in the 2000s, we've had the rise of the online message board. AllSpark just passed its 10-year mark. This has been the decade of the internet message boards. Now fans meet up. BotCon is fans meet up every year at BotCon and at TFCon and at AutoAssembly. But I mean, I remember going to my first BotCon, and I mean, you know, there's probably 2,000-3,000 people there. Now BotCon is huge. I mean, it's going to be at Disney World this coming year. The fandom has ballooned. The way people communicate has just exploded. It's everything has changed. The whole game is different.
Yeah, I mean, what, maybe 1998, you were either online talking on Usenet or maybe some AOL chat room, the subject might come up, and now it's where can't you go without Transformers or end a conversation.
There were a couple of IRC channels that were Cybertron, TFU, and I guess Ouija popped up in 98, but there are more there are message boards out there with thousands of users that I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm. Remember when you could usually go count on your hands? Oh, there's this guy. That's pretty much it. And now it's like, don't ask me. Just I don't know.
Yeah.
There's like 1,000 for the last movie alone. I mean, crap. And there's that one XV runs, but we can't talk about it.
Why? Because it figures?
Yeah, it figures.
it's been around for a while.
We'll be at 5 years in March.
Wow.
Okay, so what impact do you think the rise of message boards has had on the fandom over the last decade?
I mean, all Toys, Transformers, Usenet, IRC... They're not the easiest thing to get into. Even JD today doesn't understand how IRC works.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Anyone can figure out a message board.
That's why he doesn't have bludgeon yet.
Yeah, it's true. He couldn't figure out how to swipe a credit card. anyone can use an online message board. I mean, it's almost basically built into our DNA at this point.
Don't you hate when the post or reply is in a different position on some board and you're like lost?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Thank you.
I think the biggest thing that the message boards have done in the last 10 years is to further factionalize the fandom.
You think so?
I think there's a lot of division between the message board communities.
Do you think, okay, it used to be the division was about what you liked. Oh, I like G1. I like Beast Wars. Now is it like, oh, I associate myself with T-Formers. I associate myself with AllSpark. Is it like that now?
Yeah, it is kind of a situation like that. It's a lot more like political almost.
You does have a point there.
That is very true. That is very true. There are...
You know, back with Usenet, you had... Okay, I post on All Toys Transformers, and those other people post in Classics Moderated.
Or Rec Toys Transformers Moderated, yeah. Too.
And if anyone...
I mean, there was some crossover between the groups, but...
Yeah, the AOL guys are idiots, where the IRC guys, I mean, usually people like where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was not all that much to be divided between back then. Now anybody can have a message board, and eventually you get a lot of little groups together that don't want to interact nicely with each other.
No, but you know, we have a lot of smaller message boards out there, but we have the super sites. We have like T-Formers, we have Cybertron, TFW 2005. I mean, those are probably the three big super sites, wouldn't you? I mean, does anyone else really fall into that?
That's pretty much it, because everyone else is either a message board or a site.
Yeah, I mean, like, AllSpark, really, it's a community. I mean, yeah, they have a news board, but, I mean,
they were a message board first.
Yeah, I mean, so it's definitely a community, so I don't count it. But T-Formers is, like, it's the news source. Cybertron
is... They're news portal sites, basically.
Yeah, so they have a forum where you discuss the news, and you may discuss Transformers, but, I mean, really, they are, like, a super site with, you know, content. Another big advent of this past decade has been the wiki format. And the TF Wiki is probably the TF Wiki is the huge is the largest centralized location of Transformers knowledge, mm-hmm. period. And that's been a huge change. In the way the fandom communicates, I wouldn't really say that other social media networks have really affected. Well, a wiki isn't a social media network technically, but Twitter really hasn't impacted Transformers. Facebook really hasn't. MySpace hasn't.
Right, because those aren't directed topic formats.
But it's a way for people to aggregate themselves and to distribute information. I mean, there are Transformers message boards on Facebook. There are Transformers fan groups on Facebook. We have our own Facebook group. But, I mean, people really haven't... Even though that's a place where people are collected, they haven't collected themselves into Transformers fans like, you know, specialized websites have. And that's something that's sort of been surprising. I would have figured that places like that would have been like a true omnibus where people would discuss everything.
Not to mention the groups on your social media ones, they seem to be a little bit behind the curve when it comes to everything. Like, there's this one, I had to quit this darn group on MySpace as a Transformers group, but I was having discussions I had 10 years prior.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it seems to be more casual based fans for the social media as far as the message boards. Yeah,
social media really wants to collect people, as many people as possible. It's like Pokemon. And when you collect Pokemon, you have some of the smart Pokemon like Pikachu. Then you have a lot of dull Pokemon like Charizard. So,
yeah.
I like Charizard.
Yeah, me too.
I like the little ghost.
The first time I played through Pokemon, I picked Charmander.
I'm sorry, XV.
Well.
What's the purple ghost dude? I really like him.
Which one?
You know, the one that's smiling and he's got red eyes.
Gengar?
Yes, I even got giant plush of him. I can't remember his dang name.
I don't know anything about Pokemon. I watched like two episodes.
That's a good video game. That's as far as I go. I like the video games.
I never played the video game.
They're fun.
You know, this is really interesting. So, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the media changed. I mean, that's another big change. That's probably the biggest change.
We got major theatrical movie.
I mean, everything has changed this year. I mean, prior to this decade, we had G1 and we had Beast Wars. Then we had some comics. That's basically it. I mean, Transformers the movie was an extension of the cartoon. It was G1. Basically, Transformers went from being, you know, G1 and Beast Wars to being, like, a huge collection of different, you know, factions or series. We have, since then, we've had Transformers, Robots in Disguise, Armada, Energon, Cybertron. We've had Transformers Animated, the movies, Beast Wars Neo. Was Beast Wars second this decade?
I think that was 90s.
Not to mention, we've had comics from two different publishers. We've had, or three, I guess, if you want to talk about Titan. But we've had the dreaded Dreamwave crap. We've had IDW. So, I mean, Transformers, it's just exploded. I would say that I've not done an actual count, but roughly I would say, what?
There's a whole bunch of different continuities.
85% of the Transformers media has come from this decade or more.
Well, think of it just trying to go to Walmart and buying a Transformer. Oh. 10 years ago, it was, what, an Optimus Primal or Cheetor, and that was about it.
Ooh, there's Airazor. Wow.
Yeah. Now it's like, oh, and this pretty much all decades, like 2002, do I want Hotshot or do I want that guy over there in Universe or do I want the GoBot kid? Right now, do I want Hotshot Universe? Do I want Hotshot movie? Do I want Hotshot Marvel Legends Transformer? Do I want Hotshot Star Wars Transformer? Hey, what's those RPM things?
Yeah, it's just there's so much more today than there was 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, think about back during Beast Machines, which, you know, that was the start of the toys for this decade. In a year's stretch, you might have 30 toys altogether.
Yeah.
Might.
Mm-hmm.
And then every year since then, it's just more and more and more piled on. I mean, how many toys do you think we get in a single year now?
I couldn't even give you a count.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
not just that, but the merchandising, you know, I mean,
right.
You're talking t-shirts. I mean, I got a belt buckle, you know, a Decepticon belt buckle for Christmas. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, the Slanket.
Yeah. I mean, these are things that, like, if you had a Transformers t-shirt 10 years ago, it was either something retro, yes, or you made it, which is exactly what I had done. I had made one. So, yeah. Whereas now, you find them all the time. Hank Basket is constantly wearing Transformers shirts on his show with, what's her name? That was a... Yeah.
Does anyone remember Zobivor's Transformers? What was it? The Transformers pop culture references, where he kept a website when Transformers were mentioned on television, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that's impossible to manage.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do that. But back before this decade, it was
just a handful of times.
Yeah, and I think we cited a couple of weeks ago or a month or two back that I think probably the tipping point that we knew something was going on when Tom Hanks sang the G1 theme on the Tonight Show.
I remember how nuts everybody went when someone at a WWF wrestling match held up a poster board with a crudely drawn Decepticon logo up, and it got on TV.
Yes.
And everyone was like, dude, did you see it?
Wasn't that one of the Ouija folks?
It was possible.
Yeah, I remember when that happened, though, and yeah, we all went crazy, like, oh my gosh.
No one even remembers what match it was. They just remember the sign.
Yep.
I try not to remember much of wrestling anymore.
Good on you.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the media's changed. The toys, I mean, we've already gotten into it. There's so many toys now that there weren't before. We've had so many different design aesthetics. I mean,
we had an ice cream truck.
Yes, an ice cream truck that was two Transformers in one.
Yeah, and a toaster.
We've had a microscope before, but you know, now we have a small scout class microscope.
Well, you know, this decade really kind of started off big like that, because if you remember, you know, everyone says Beast Machines from 2000, but Beast Wars was still kind of around with the Fox Kid repaints, and then there's the Beast Wars Mutants, and the Animorphs crap was still laying around, too. This decade pretty much started off big when it came to Transformers, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Started off big, but in a small way. I mean, there was a few different brands around, but there wasn't a whole lot for any one of them.
Back then, it was huge. Now we would think we would be in a drought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, as far as content goes. I mean, it's so much different today than it was 10 years ago. Now, I mean, 10 years ago, you had two Transformers podcasts. You had us, and you had Trans Talk on the Orbital with the Nixta. And you know, conveniently
hey kids,
started
how about
2 weeks.
The Molson Twins?
Yeah, yeah. Conveniently started 2 weeks after us, but no. He had had the idea for decades, just didn't go through it. But now you have Moonbase 2, WTF, TFW.
I'm sure he said that he got the idea after he listened to us the first time.
Yeah, well, it depends on the show. He said he had the idea forever, but you know, when you talk to him, he admitted that he just stole it from us. But now, there's so many. You have, just full disclosure, I don't listen to any other Transformers podcast unless I'm on them, because I don't want to be that guy who steals ideas or whatever. So, you know, I'm not commenting on the quality. But, I mean, I've listened to Moonbase 2. I've listened to, I've been on T-Former several times, and I basically listen to every episode. Let's see, there's Vangelis' show, WTF at TFW. There's one called Autobot City. Our pal Adam, he has like three on his website, Grufflock. I mean, there's so much Transformers media. There's some dude on YouTube who's like, all he does is talk about Transformers. What's his name?
Brian Kilby?
No, I'm not on YouTube.
Vangelis?
No, yeah, Vangelis is on YouTube too, but I mean, this is like all the guy does. He doesn't do a podcast. Walkie made fun of him a couple years ago.
Sean Long?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about him, but I mean, he's apparently notable for talking about Transformers on YouTube. I mean, YouTube, for God's sakes. You want to watch an episode of Transformers? You don't have the DVD? Okay, go to YouTube.
Hell, how many original Transformer productions are on YouTube? Even little mini-made documentaries by people taking their camcorder to BotCon or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. The difference between today and, you know, the last decade, it's absurd. I honestly don't see as huge a change or a shift in the next decade. I don't know that it's possible. This decade has been transformative for not just Transformers, but for everything.
That's true, but think about in 1999, you would not have predicted that all the stuff that's happened in this decade would have happened either.
No. That's true. But, I mean, where do we go from here?
We can go up or down or hopefully stay somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, but what's the next big technology that can like, change the game? I don't think that there is one that...
I mean, I don't know, but that's why I say it's hard to say. I mean, even 5 years ago, we couldn't have predicted something like Facebook exploding the way it has or Twitter.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter really haven't had like a big impact on the Transformers fandom, but not really.
Well, in some ways.
You weren't around for that discussion. You were off fixing your bulb. Sorry. We already covered all this.
Who's the censored one now?
Yes. No. Just a little bit of retread. Facebook and Twitter really haven't pulled people away from the large message boards. Not that it would have to do that, but there's really no large collection of Transformers fans on Facebook. Not that aren't already, connected to T-Formers or AllSpark or something else.
Well, but
they're just extensions. Like our fan pages, it's just an extension of our group here.
But I mean, you're talking about the technology changing the communication, then that's where I'm saying, like, as far as like information consumption, I think it's changed. I think with something like Twitter or Facebook, more so than say a website, because I think people, as far as mobile media, are more apt to find out about things through Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than through a website now.
If I'm on the go, I definitely get Twitter feeds from, it's hard to say Twitter feeds, from T-Formers and AllSpark News. And that's, if I'm not at home, that's how I catch up with the news. So.
Whereas, and that's where I'm saying, as looking at that, looking back 10 years ago, and you had to go to the Usenet, log in, download the documents, read through them. Whereas now those things are pushed live to you through your Twitter feed. And that's a technology we couldn't have predicted even 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point.
Really, with the whole mobile thing, how many times has cell phone pictures benefited Transformers news sites over the past couple of years?
It's been benefiting Toy Fair for like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Ever since the first camera phone came out.
But going back to what JD said, though, back in the day, it was you went to the news. Today, the news comes to you. It's pushed to you. And kind of going with what Rob's saying, with the technology, you can kind of create the news. And in the case of me, I literally have created the news, and it's been fictitious. And it's made the front page.
We can't all be as awesome as that.
Yeah, it's true. But and it's made the front page of Cybertron.com. But
that's not very difficult either.
That's true. But you can totally, with a cell phone and a decent camera and connections, you can create the news. You can be a roving reporter. You can do that now. But
I remember at OTSC 2004. Myself, and this guy's name's Chris, but he goes, people on T-Formers, because I'm pretty sure are listening. No, not Nurgle. He didn't come to this one. He goes by Autobot Maximal on message boards. Him and I both were helping out with TransFandom.com back then, and the guys that owned it, they didn't go to the dinner because they didn't pre-reg, so they sent us with their cell phone, which basically all the pictures sent automatically to the TransFandom server, and they were sitting in the hotel room posting every picture we took with this thing. Which ended up being a whole lot of people going over the whole Death Over Chocolate thing. But, that was blowing our minds. Like, dude, this is like a live webcam. And, now that's nothing. I mean, TwitPic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's insane what you can do. And I it's not that I don't think that the technology as far as communication will not improve. I absolutely do think it'll improve. Probably what will change the game is not the technology, but the acceptance thereof. People accepting the technology and actually using it and figuring out how to change what is already there, how to sort of shift how Twitter works or how Facebook works and all these things into new ways, basically reappropriating things. That's probably where the next big change will be.
Innovating the use of what we already have now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
if you want to think about websites, we've kind of come full circle at this point. Around the beginning of the decade, almost everyone's site was a .geocities or a .AOL hometown. And then everyone got a domain name, tfradio.net, go to there. And now everyone, you know, the big guys still have sites, tfradio.net. And, but like Jim Sorensen. Yeah, Blogger. Blogspot.
Right.
You could have a killer Transformers page. It's nothing more than a Twitter feed. Follow me at, and it could be all the breaking news, all the stuff. You could be that guy in the factory that's stealing all the prototypes or whatever. He could just be twit picking all day. Yeah.
Really, I think people got excited by the cheap domain names because they could look cool, and then realize how much trouble it actually was to do that long term.
Yeah, the ability to create technology, technology to create content is so amazing. It's like our website is tfradio.net. It's actually built in Squarespace, and it's so easy to update and manage. It's like I did not want to worry about something how it works anymore. I would get tired of some random code breaking or something happening. You know, I type the wrong character when I'm updating it, and the thing fails. No, I got tired of that. Now with Squarespace, I can update the darn thing in like 2 minutes, and it saves me hours per week. Perhaps, you know, there'll be another technology shift that will make things even easier. I mean, it's just so much easier to create content now than it was. I mean, this podcast, for goodness sake, I used to work for hours producing this thing. And the quality was so much lower, but now with Skype and everything, we can get so much done in so little time. It's really amazing.
How much cheaper is this show now than it was 10 years ago?
Oh, it's way more expensive now.
Good thought, though, Rob. Good thought.
Saving it, the hosting.
Yeah, the hosting is way – actually, TF Archive hosted us for free for a long time, and Taryn actually gave us hosting for a long time. But no, it's just now there's so many more toys to play with, where before I literally recorded everything on my computer in Gold Wave, and it was just a standard dynamic microphone plugged into my computer. Now I have like a high quality condenser microphone plugged into an audio interface mixing board that's USB, and yeah, I mean, we don't want to talk about that. It's
not,
no,
not
cheaper.
Not to where your wife can hear anyway.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for the other guys who aren't putting as much of a production standard, it's cheaper. They're doing what, Windows Sound Recorder hosted on archive.com?
I don't know that they're doing Windows Sound Recorder, but it's probably something like Audacity, which is totally free.
Yeah.
No, you can do this for free. So yeah, you can do this for next to nothing. So if anyone out there wants to create a podcast, it's not hard. Creating a good one's hard, but creating a podcast is easy.
See, mm-hmm. Guys, you could do this for free, but if you want to sound as good as us, put some bank into it. And effort.
Mostly effort.
And go get some pickles or something out.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon, the official food of Radio Free Cybertron.
It is.
Which really is cheap. Hey.
Bacon can be cheap, but
yeah. There's your analogy. You can go bare bones or you can really get the good stuff.
You can go bare bones or you can go bacon.
That's right.
Okay.
Bare bones bacon is kind of scary.
Yeah, that's true. So we kind of rambled on for long enough. So, I'm going to have a hard time editing this, but to wrap it all up.
Odds.
Yeah, things have really changed.
You could edit it much easier now.
Yes. Long story short, things are different now than they were 10 years ago.
I am not editing this on a Pentium 1.
Oh wow.
No, it's a Pentium 1 300 megahertz. No, Pentium 2, Pentium 2 300 with 32 megs of RAM.
We no longer see you with a micro cassette recorder at BotCon. Now you have a digital recorder.
Not yet. I do want a task. I do want a nice Tascam or the Zoom H4. We have the Zoom H4 in at the radio station, and I love it. But I don't want to pay that much money for one, so I'll probably go with the Tascam when we go to BotCon. It's like $150, and it sounds good enough. But yeah,
don't tell your wife.
Yeah, but back when we were doing this originally, I was doing it on a K6-1, 300 megahertz with 32 megs of RAM. This computer now, it's Core i7-960, I think, with 6 gigs of RAM, and It's so much better and so much easier now to edit than it was.
Right. I want to talk about things changing, computer technology, but that's another show.
Yeah. That's another show. Okay, Twitter Theater, and we'll wrap the show up. We did TFTM, and Rob, your reasoning for Transformers the movie was?
Well, really, up until, what, 02, 01, before this decade, if you wanted to watch Transformers at home, that was pretty much your only option, was Transformers the movie.
Yeah, like Malifilm released some episodes on VHS, a couple of episodes, and on I think it actually did some G2 episodes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
but most people had a copy of Transformers the movie, and that was basically it.
Of course, if you had a like a local video rental place, you could usually find a couple of the Family Home Entertainment,
the FHE stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a copy of Roll for It that I had gotten, and I think I still have it somewhere.
I still have all the ones from my mom and local mom and pop folded.
Yeah, but Transformers the movie was the most widely available piece of Transformers media that was available. I remember I got my Malifilm copy and I watched it over and over, but I've never watched it as much as I watched my fourth generation VHS copy off of HBO.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's really, honestly, when you get someone talking about Transformers, whenever they mention G1, if you'll notice the movie, stuff from the movie comes up more than anything else. That's really why. I mean,
and everything else is misremembered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're on point about stuff with the movie because they're remembering sitting in college. Someone's, dude, look what I found. All right. And they pop it in.
Now, did anyone else find it as weird as me back in 06 when Transformers the movie was available at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That weirded me out.
Not so much that. It was, you know, those little TVs they have hanging from the ceilings playing the commercials and crap?
It was on there, yeah.
Yeah, I was just walking with my buggy. I was going to get some beer or some cheese or something, and I just heard Transformers. I was like, oh, God, it's finally crashing down around me. And I started looking down. Like, I didn't realize it was the TV. I thought I'd finally completely lost my mind. I was like, oh, God. And then I looked up and saw it, and I was like, oh, thank you.
That's awesome.
This is why we have Rob.
Yeah. But, Transformers the movie, it's, without going into the quality of it, because we've had that conversation, it's probably the most, other than the Revenge of the Fallen and the newest movie, it's probably the most widely watched piece of Transformers media, period, ever, except for maybe the, you know, our podcast. And, go listen to our commentary if you want to know what we think about the actual movie.
Yeah.
We link in the show notes to the Transformers the movie. You can sort of watch along and hear what we think about the movie. It's a movie, so you'll enjoy it. So
we had a lot of fun doing it. That's what counts.
That's exactly what counts.
You guys remember when the Rhino DVD of Transformers the movie first came out and a lot of people finally got to see what all of us are talking about, the theatrical of the cursing and stuff?
Yeah. Well, the Malifilm had
did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had the FHE version and, you know, which it generic copy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I saw it in third grade. Spike said the S word.
Then Optimus Prime turned into dust and he just sort of crumbled away.
And it was a widescreen.
Yes.
I was just substitute teaching in like 2000 and I actually like showed that with the curse word to my class. It was pretty awesome.
It's 2000. You could have got away with it. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, it's a small town in Oklahoma, so, you know, I think that balanced out.
So. Tighten that Bible belt one more notch. Can't say that word here, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't have anything else for the show, for this last show of this decade. You guys have anything?
This moment's occasion.
So long, Otz. We'll miss you.
Yeah.
But technically, doesn't the decade not end until next December 31st?
You know, the Bad Astronomer had a good point. Phil Plait. He said, do you consider 30 part of your 20s? No, you don't. So, this decade's over.
And this is why we love Phil Plait.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
That we can all, starting next show, start going Transformers 2-0-1-0.
Yes.
Every episode.
Okay, next week's episode is going to be a 2010 themed episode, which thankfully all we have to do is watch season 3 and sort of fake the rest.
Which is pretty much every episode of RFC anyway. Season 3, forget 4, 1 and 2.
Yeah. Okay, guys. John had to sort of bail on us earlier on in the show, so we'll say goodbye
to John.
Not
that any of you probably noticed anyway.
No, you lose John's rich, you know, voice. John's got
I was gone for half the episode.
No probably, one cared. No.
John went there with the cool factor.
Yeah, sort of. John's like the...
It was fine. Me and Brian and Rob were holding the show together just fine.
Not really. We need, like, all five of us, otherwise we fall apart.
Dude, I need an anchor or I'm cursing and talking about going crazy in Walmart because of your transformer.
Yeah.
But that's the good stuff.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
The quality content right there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. TFRadio.net, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, we'll talk to you next decade. Have a good one.
Reinhardt farted.
Yeah, Reinhardt's farted.
Got to get that in before the decade ends.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009 Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?